It's 820. It's 104.5 The Zone. It's Jason Martin. It's Ramon Foster, former Pittsburgh Steel and Tennessee Vol. Not Tennessee Titan, as much as I'm sure they would have liked to have had you on the offensive line as long as you were in the NFL for 11 years.
Before they got it together, I mean, they built it the right way, though. We watched their O-line perform for sure as a team in Pittsburgh. And there are certain lines across the league that you just like, yeah, I watch what they do. Yeah, that's a good O-line. And I'm happy to be covering this O-line here, man. Especially
sure.
With the notoriety that we get now. And it's not just bad.
On Twitter, at JMart and Ramon. He's at Ramon Foster. I'm at JMart Radio. Welcome in Andy Staples. He's going to join us every Thursday at this time. He writes for The Athletic. He talks about food and occasionally spritzes in a little bit of college football for flavoring. Andy, how are you this morning?
Good morning.
So we're triggered right now because of this guy in Pittsburgh who, I guess he's a radio host up there. Somebody needs to report him to Twitter. He's got his pizza topping power rankings. We're going to lead off with this. I know there's Big Ten stuff happening, but his pizza ratings is number 5, black olives, number 4, mushrooms, number 3, pepperoni, and then number 2, banana peppers, and 1, pineapple. Your thoughts?
See, he did that just to be controversial.
That's what I thought.
That's all it is. Nobody really loves pineapple that much. I mean, look, a Hawaiian pizza is a nice change of pace every once in a while, but no, you don't put that number 1. Pepperoni's the obvious number 1. Black olives, he's actually got too low. That's number 2. Then you're going to go with your sausage and your bacon and your other meat.
Yeah.
And you don't get to another vegetable for a while. Mushrooms are there, but they're down there.
He doubled down and said if they're having family pizza night, he orders his own and gets only pineapple or banana peppers. What world is that?
He's a psychopath. there's probably a clinical diagnosis. I don't have my DSM-5 in front of me, but I think there's – banana peppers. So would it be pineapple and banana peppers, and
that
nothing else? Cheese, sauce, pineapple, banana peppers,
just banana peppers? I think he said as well. Which I just I don't understand. I think he needs to be reported.
Banana peppers are a complimentary vegetable.
Yeah.
They are not the show.
That's right.
I have a saying. Who raised you?
Yeah.
Is what I have to ask him because nobody's ever heard of this.
It's one thing to be a trailblazer. Like, there was a guy at some point who goes, you know what? I could put this bacon on some pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy's a genius.
Yes.
The guy who goes, you know what? I want a pizza with just banana pepper. That guy's a psycho.
That guy needs to be taken off of social media. Like, somebody needs to report this guy to Jack real quick and get it taken care of.
I was triggered, okay?
Andy, what's going on with the Big Ten? We've seen for the last month, it's been so sensationalized on all sides, but they're going to play football starting on the weekend of the 24th. What was your reaction to it becoming official yesterday?
Well, I'm glad they finally got it over with. And, you know, I think we can all agree, whether you like the Big Ten better or the ACC better or the Big 12 better or the SEC better, that the Big Ten handled this extremely poorly, not necessarily for postponing, but for postponing when they did, and then for being really vague and arrogant about it. Like, I talked to Diane Freiermuth yesterday. Her son, Pat, is a tight end at Penn State. He's going to be, you know, probably first-round draft pick. And her thing was, if you tell us why you're doing this, if you say, here are the reasons with regard to testing, here are the reasons with regard to potential heart issues down the road, here are the reasons with regard to community spread. If they've given them specifics, maybe the parents don't fight back the way they did. And maybe they're not playing right now. But they just wouldn't say anything. They were incredibly arrogant about the whole thing. And then when they realized they could look incredibly stupid if the ACC and the Big 12 and the SEC wind up playing a season and they don't, then all of a sudden, daily testing. You realize every doctor for every league knew about daily testing before the Big Ten and the Pac-12 postponed.
Of course. Yep.
Everybody knew it was coming. Everybody knew when it was coming.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. By the way, Andy Staples is brought to you by the Tennessee Education Lottery. They're proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion to support education programs in Tennessee. To learn more about programs funded by the lottery, visit TNLottery.com. NFL.com. Your comment about arrogance, Andy, is the one that I go to, because when they released that letter, we're not going to revisit this, but there's no specifics in it. Compare that letter and the way they acted that week to just how buttoned up and well-prepared they were yesterday. And it tells me they were flying with their heads in their rear ends on the 11th in a way that they absolutely did not have to.
And even the day it happened, there was an example of somebody being buttoned up about it, because the Pac-12 postponed the same day. And they're like, here, want to talk to a doctor? Here, want to talk to an athletic director? Here's our medical advisory board's report. Would you like to read the thing in its entirety? We'll put it on the internet for you. And so the Pac-12 gave you an example of how to do that and do it right. Because you notice there wasn't a lot of pushback in the Pac-12. It was like, okay, we understand why you're doing this. And now what's interesting is once the Big Ten got cranked up yesterday, all of a sudden the Pac-12 was like, we got a problem here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if the Pac-12 doesn't play in the fall, I don't think they play at all, because if the Big Ten's not playing in the spring, they don't really have a Power Five partner there. So I think the Pac-12 knew they needed to do something. And for them, and this is, again, why the Pac-12 is not taking nearly as much heat as the Big Ten. The Pac-12 had government regulatory issues that they had to deal with. In California and in Oregon, they had issues where they couldn't practice. It was hard for them to even lift weights. So they had to go to the governors of California and Oregon and say, listen, can we get a special exemption for this like you've given in California, given the Rams and the 49ers and the Chargers? And can we do the same things they did? Because, you know, there was a football game in Los Angeles on Sunday, and there was a football game in San Francisco on Sunday, and everything seemed fine. So could we maybe do this? And now it seems like the states are willing to let them do that.
A question I got for you is this. You know, with a lot of the kids opting now, you know, we saw a high potential first rounder, Penei Sewell from Oregon, say he was going to opt out. And now a bunch of the guys from the Big Ten are opting back in. The question I have is, do you think the NCAA is going to look into it, or at least the conferences or the compliance office will be looking into it? Let's say if a guy went out and got a line of credit, is that something we have to worry about? Or since this year really doesn't count for those guys and they're able to come back anyway, is that something we should be worried about as far as like NCAA sanctions coming down from guys who decided they were going to go train and not play since they said they weren't going to revisit it? Do we have to look forward to that type of stuff happening?
I just think the guys that are too far down the road with their training, and they've taken, you know, quite a bit of stuff from their agent, I think they're just not going to come back. I mean, that's the thing. The guys you saw Wyatt Davis from Ohio State come back. Wyatt Davis opted out last week. You know, he hasn't been like Micah Parsons from Penn State. He opted out. He actually opted out before the Big Ten postponed football. He opted out while they were planning to play a 10-game schedule. He's in Santa Ana, California, training on athlete's first dime. So is he going to come back? I doubt that.
Yeah.
But if it just happened, then maybe. I think we're still waiting to hear from Sean Wade from Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken. I talked to his dad on my podcast yesterday, and we recorded it Tuesday night. And this was before the Big Ten announced. And he basically said, look, regardless of the Big Ten's decision, he's planning on signing with an agent Wednesday night. And then Sean said yesterday on ESPN, he was going to give it another day before he figured out. He selected an agent. He hasn't signed with him yet. So he could easily opt back in if he decides that's what he wants to do.
Andy, what are the biggest reasons? Is it Nebraska? Is it Ohio State? Does Nebraska get the most credit here for getting this back? Is it a couple of different schools? Who was it that really led this charge that made this happen?
Well, Nebraska was the first one to really come out strong and to just say, we're going to pit ourselves against our league. And they did that the day before the postponement. They knew it was coming. They tried to head it off by a lot of really loud saber-rattling, and it didn't work. But they didn't stop there. They kept fighting. And then I think Ohio State really got into it. You know, Ryan Day was absolutely adamant about playing.
Mm-hmm.
He never stopped trying to make that happen. You know, James Franklin at Penn State, Jim Harbaugh, their presidents actually voted to postpone, but they didn't agree with that. So they were very outspoken. I think those are the ones. Iowa was one of the ones that voted against postponing, and they were very, you know, behind the scenes doing a lot of work trying to get things changed. So I think that those are the schools really that that led the charge. And then you've got these parents groups that were, you know, continually putting pressure on the Big Ten. In Nebraska, they met with a lawyer. They end up suing the Big Ten in the name of 8 Nebraska football players. And I mean, think about that, that they had to file a lawsuit
right
to get the Big Ten to admit there was even a vote. How sad is that if you're a conference with 13 public universities?
Yeah, I mean, it's absurd. I mean, that just goes to, and Andy Staples is our guest. He writes for The Athletic. That just goes to, look, they're unelected, and they just seem like they're above the law, yeah. Like, to just kind of use that phraseology. And
well, yeah, but those university presidents in the public schools are, they're politicians, and they are beholden to the politicians in their state. And that's one thing that I'm not sure all of them realized, how much political pressure was going to come in both directions from this decision. And yeah, I think that's why for the SEC and the Big 12 and for the Pac-12, really, it was easier. There was less pushback. There was less arguing because from a political standpoint, those leagues are fairly homogenous. So it's not like this university president has to worry about his governor saying one thing while this university president has to worry about her governor saying another thing. It's not quite like that. They're going to get the same message. And the Big Ten, think about it. Bill Moose, the athletic director of Nebraska, always says, it stretches from the Atlantic Ocean to the Wyoming border. He's not wrong. That's a lot of land and a lot of different kind of places. And so I think that was a piece of it too.
21-day suspension of play for positives, no bye weeks, shutdown threshold of 5% positivity rates. There's still a lot out here that needs to be kind of deciphered through and things we're not going to see until they happen. What's your biggest question that's left to answer? What are you most curious to see how it actually plays out once they start playing?
When's the Ohio State-Michigan game? I want to see a schedule first. Remember, they gave us a schedule, but now they have to change it. So you're going to do that first, you're going to do that last, you're going to do that in the usual spot. I mean, like, the SEC put the Iron Bowl on Thanksgiving weekend, where it usually is, but there's another game after it now. So I'm more into the practical questions. I'm done with the arguing. I'm ready to talk about football. Is Nebraska going to be any better this year? Is Phil Steele going to be right that Northwestern's about that team of the year? Because they had a great defense last year that was kneecapped by a horrific offense,
mm-hmm.
but they still have a great defense, and they actually might have a functional offense. So that's one of those for the gamblers, I think, you know, more than anything else. But it's just, I'm excited because there's going to be real football to talk about. And maybe even the Pac-12 comes back too.
Mm-hmm.
Could we be feeling, normal might be the wrong word, but I'm going to go ahead and use it anyway. Could we be feeling normal by November?
Man, that sounds excellent. In 2020, hopefully you just willed it into existence. The football you said you want to talk about.
I jinxed it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm trying not to use that word also, but the football that you've gotten to see, since we want to talk about football, what have you thought about the quality of play? Obviously, we haven't had any kind of real great marquee matchups or anything, but just what have you observed in these couple of weeks of games that we have seen?
It's all over the map. I mean, it really depends on what everybody was trying to do during preseason camp and how much preseason camp you could get in. You know, it's interesting because the NFL has much more regimented testing. They had more strict rules about what you could do in practice, and they had homogenous rules about what you could do in practice. So the gameplay looked consistent across the league. What you see in college is really inconsistent gameplay because some people were doing this, and some people were doing this, and some people had this many guys knocked out for contact tracing, so they couldn't really work it, for this long. And I think as the season goes on, that's going to smooth out a little bit, but it's just very inconsistent, and it makes me wonder about different games. Like the next few weeks, we're going to have a lot of situations where you have a team playing a game for the first time against a team that has already played. And a good example for this one is UCF at Georgia Tech this weekend. So Georgia Tech has gone down to Florida State and won a game. UCF has not played yet. If this were a normal season and they were normally meeting on September 19th, we would have UCF probably as like a 13-point favorite. They are a 7.5-point favorite, and I don't know what they're going to look like They had a bunch of opt-outs. You know, they have Dylan Gabriel, who's a fantastic quarterback. But will they be what they were last year? Because if they were what they were last year, they should go and beat Georgia Tech. But we don't know what they are. And Georgia Tech has played a game and handled, like, there was an instance in the Georgia Tech Florida State game, and I was there the other night. So Georgia Tech had three kicks blocked. And Jeff Collins said after the game, he said, one of the drills he took out because of COVID protocols was live extra point field goal. So they had not kicked against the live defense yet. And you could tell it wasn't a case where that the kicker didn't have the leg. He was just, the trajectory coming off his foot was too low and it was getting blocked. And so you could tell they just went to him and said, hey, you're doing fine. You just got to get a little higher angle on it and it'll be fine. And he knocked through the game winner in the fourth quarter. But that's one of those things that they've now taken care of, that they wouldn't have realized was going to be an issue until they played a game. So what does UCF have going on there? And you're going to see that around the league or around the country in the next couple of weeks.
That's outstanding. I mean, that might even be playing a little bit in the NFL with all the kicks that were missed and yeah. Some of the things that we saw over the weekend. You just can't simulate everything in practice, especially with these protocols. We're looking forward to having you every Thursday, Andy. Next week, we'll actually get into some SEC preview and stuff because they're going to be ready to play finally. We're getting there. I think the Pac-12 is going to play. Do you?
I do. I think they need to. I don't know if they're going to be able to play as soon as the Big Ten, but if they can, I mean, that's great because that would mean Oregon, which should be a really good team,
mm-hmm.
yep.
If they win, then they would be considered for the college football playoffs. So I'm a more the merrier kind of person. So if they want to come back, let's get them all back.
Amen to that. All right, Andy, we'll catch up with you next week. We appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Andy.
All right, see you guys.
Thanks. That's Andy Staples. He's awesome. He writes at The Athletic. He talks about food a lot.
Yeah, I saw that.
There are people commenting on the pizza issue right now. So I disagree with you're going too extreme when you're saying fruit should not be on pizza.
Yeah, I like pineapple on, especially if I get like jalapeno on a pizza. I'll set that with a little pineapple. I'm okay with that.
I like the Hawaiian. I like to go with the ham and pineapple myself. Andy's at Andy underscore Staples, we should say. Again, thanks to the Tennessee Education Lottery for making him possible for us. They're proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion to support education programs in Tennessee. To learn more about programs funded by the lottery, website is tnlottery.com. We'll tell you, we got a Jag coming on the show.
Yes.
Tomorrow, we'll tell you who that is when we come back. And we need to talk about what happened to Ramon's unmentionables a few days ago. Courtesy of your children. That is next. It's at J Martin Ramon on Twitter. It's 8:39. It's 104.5 The Zone.
Saucy Nugs.